VentureCast.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to the Quantum Leap Your Business and Life podcast. My name is Bethany London, and I am an energetic VC supporting CEOs and entrepreneurs in multiplying revenues and opportunities of their business through intuitive guidance and energetic healing. I am obsessed with finding and releasing blocks so that you can start receiving the guidance and opportunities that will be bringing you quantum leaps with ease. If you are looking to upgrade your business, life, spirituality, or need a perspective shift to flow, you've come to the right place. Leave it to me to pull out the juicy stories, quantum leap hacks, and how our inspiring guests have tackled obstacles and gotten into the flow to reach new heights of success. My intention is to bring clarity and massive awareness that infinite possibilities are everywhere. Your next moment could be a miraculous one. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Let's uncover their strategies, have fun, and see how we can quantum leap together. All right. Welcome to Quantum Leap. We have Adam Matthew Weiss with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I met Adam in the Hamptons at Sunset Beach, and he just had this vibe of knowing everybody, and I make shit happen. I get things done, and I knew from that expansive energy that this guy has definitely quantum leaped a few times in his life. So I'm like, let's have you on. He runs a PR firm, and I think a few other things. You want to share where you're at in your life now, and then we'll backtrack.
I run a strategic communications company, and I'm a magazine publisher too. The communications company is we specialize in getting people in high place, media publications or TV segments, what we like to call in our business, we call them media hits. So we take someone who's, let's say he's been an expert his whole life, and whether it's a doctor in plastic surgery or an expert in financial markets, they might have been the best in their league in certain areas or where they live, but they've never been a media brand. So we take them from scratch. It's like put them in a baking pot, like we're going to start baking this, even though the ingredients are there, but we put it all together and it comes out, and we turn them into the expert that they want to be in the media landscape, the whole media landscape. So an important, very integral and important part of marketing themselves, probably the most important part, is public relations, because they can somehow get themselves, and we've done this numerous times, get someone a great TV segment, and overnight, they can get themselves new business, they can get themselves an advisory role. They can have people see them, and then, then they're sought after as a speaker. So kind of that's what, when people hear the word public relations, what does it really stand for? Bringing a client, bringing that expert into the public, domain. Because before that, they're just XY business person, XY entrepreneur, XY.
So that's just Bethany London over here doing her thing.
Bethany's doing your thing. You're creating your own media brand by creating your own podcast. You took it upon yourself to become a a media brand myself. That's wonderful.
You did that. A huge part of this also is relationships. So I think that's probably why I was picking up on the fact that you were so good with people.
Before I started, I've been in communications 15 years. I was in the real estate business approximately 8 years. Before that, I was in the car business of learning the car. So I sold cars. I was a finance manager. And probably that was my greatest gift of learning people. Because when I was in the finance business, you start to see 30 people a day. The names are different. The hair is different. The outfits are different. But the kind of you start to learn the personalities. Murphy might be the same as O'Brien, but that different people. But you kind of get the way they act. And then after a while, then the next group of people come in. So you start to really, when you see that many people a day for 3 years consecutively, it really becomes a gift of learning how to deal with people in a sales way, marketing way, congenial way. And, that was my kind of like lesson 101 in sales on how to deal with people. It was like, that was the gift that. And then I had a great mentor there too. He's a kind mentor, never want pressure. You know, the first salesperson I had in life, he was like the pressure type. He was, give me your money. I want the deposit.
Yeah, numbers.
And I just looked at him as just a bad precedent, bad way to do things. And the second guy I saw was like, didn't want anybody's money. Dealership just said, if you're not ready, please bring back your wife. I don't want any money from you. And I want to wait till you're 100% ready. And that's just, was easy for me to accept and learn from him. So that's, it was a nod.
So how did you go from cars to PR?
I enjoyed politics. I was a political strategist when I was really young. I loved the game of politics, running campaigns, running people for office, figuring out I went to school for political science. Then wow. I would go around and teach groups and go around different states and run campaigns for Congress or local legislator. And that's what I really loved. And then I moved I lived in the suburbs of New York and I moved to the city, and then I really didn't have a political vehicle there. So I got into the real estate business. And then 8 years into that, it was nice. I had to make a good living, but it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't a life. We all have a gift somehow. We all have a vehicle we're supposed to be in. And sometimes we're not in that vehicle at the right moment, right? Somehow the universe has to get us there. We don't know how we're going to get there. So it wasn't until I lost my brother, my older brother, and because I was still in the real estate business. And then I jumped in. And it was the first time right after, which was a few weeks after that, I visited my parents in Florida, and because we're still mourning, and then they had us, this is 15 years ago, so they came and they had a sauna and steamer in their complex. So I went in there, I was relaxing a bit, and I said, well, when I get back to New York, I need a sauna or a steamer. I need the gym that I'm going to join next needs a sauna and steamer. So I went, I started walking around the neighborhood. The first place I walked in is called the Printing House Fitness and Squash Club. I walked in maybe 7:30 in the morning. I said, do you have a sauna and steamer? And I said, yes, but nobody's here to show you around. And then, but the owner walks in, he says, I can show you around. I'm the managing partner. I says, great. He says, what do you do? I said, I do PR. And I didn't do PR. I didn't have one account. Never did it in my life. Somehow that just came out of me.
That just came out. Oh my God, I love it.
And he said, oh, I never had a PR company and I've always thought of having one. Can we meet sometime? I said, sure. And I looked back and I said, why did it give me the channel at that moment to say that, do that? I think it's because, I think it's because when I visited my brother and he never had the fulfillment to do something that he was created for, that I think his spirit pushed me to do that at that moment. That's the only way I can think of why I did it at that moment at that time, because it was all about the sauna and steamer when I got back.
Yeah. Okay. It was an avenue. It was an avenue to get to. Yeah.
So that was my first client I ever had, this Printing House Fitness and Squash Club.
So had you been thinking about doing PR? You said you had one person.
I understood it. I knew it. I was a political strategist, and I was always completely loved the news.
So from that,
I had a couple of friends that did it, and but I never worked for a company. I never had an account.
Yeah. That's so beautiful.
And I'm like, uh-oh, so what do I do now? Uh-oh, I better
call. Like, okay, I just signed up for this. Make
a website. I better call a friend to write a tip sheet for me. I'm going to figure this out 101 here, like walking into the woods with not knowing how to hunt.
Yeah. So did you, from that moment when you got your first client, did you quit real estate cold turkey or did you keep doing it on the side?
No, I kept doing it because based on I kept doing that for probably year and a half.
Okay.
And then I came to the conclusion I couldn't do both at the same time. It was just too difficult to strategically. I had to take a jump into one. And then when I first got to PR, it was so challenging, but yet fulfilling. So it was like, that was the one to choose.
So it was a scary jump.
Very scary.
You did it.
Yeah. Just not knowing different things and not knowing this and that, just going for it. But, you know.
Well, and the amount of trust that you have to have in yourself.
You know, I was thinking that this morning, some people, and I was saying, was one friend I grew up with. We had a little group of friends. One guy went to Harvard and Yale, and it was like, they just automatically have a network of incredible people. It's easy, right? Once you go to schools like that, you're. And then another one didn't really do that in life, my other friend, but we were the biggest entrepreneurs out of the group. And another couple were just like, he's a school teacher, you know, it's just the basic path. And it takes a lot to do what we do. And the other guy is challenging and risk taking and yet nerve wracking at times being an entrepreneur, not knowing where your next check is, right?
Yep. Takes a special type of individual. I'm curious, just bringing your brother back into it. Like, did you feel continuously as you move forward, like that he was like by your side or had your back or any of that?
Yeah, I thought he was always happy that I figured it out, that he wasn't able to get there because of other issues that he had, which,
yeah,
you know, didn't allow him to get. This is kind of what he should have done also. It was almost the same thing. He's a brilliant writer. He was editor of the newspaper. He was, you know, he was gay way, way, way long time ago when it wasn't as hip as it is now. You know, so it was really, he was kind of like abused back then when he was a child for that. So, but he was very, very talented. So when I did take the leap and looked up, he was very happy that we did this, right? He was very supportive, happy.
Yeah.
See it.
Right.
You don't know when the moments you do see it, but it could be, you know, certain times all of a sudden you just feel it, right? It comes to you and you feel him speaking to you or you look up and somehow they're there. The souls are visiting for a moment in time.
Well, and he wasn't able to own his truth, it sounds like, fully, right? Which, I mean, a lot of people, that's a struggle for many, regardless of.
Wonderful friend. I'm brokenhearted today. He's 52. Yeah. And just got to a call last night. He passed away. But this guy was larger than life. He would teach. He was instruction, owned a big company, but he gave up his time teaching women wrestling. He started a whole program so women can have a wrestling program in high school here in New York City. And that's what he cared about doing every day after school, not going out, not drinking. That's what he do having after his work.
This is the guy you just found out he passed yesterday?
That's yesterday, yeah. Dear friend. He's a client of ours and a good friend from way back high school.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's definitely made an impact and has left some legacy. So that's beautiful.
Yeah. And then like, I just texted his girlfriend or wife or whatever. And then we just wanted to get her obituary because I want to, you know, the other things we can be helpful when you want to give back, if you write the obituary, now want to look for the papers, we can get him into place and showcase his life. It's important to put it in like big newspapers, local newspapers where he came from. Mm-hmm. Real estate publications because he was in that business, but get that placed right away so people could see what a life he lived, who he helped, what he gave back.
Wow, that's interesting. I had never thought of like PR and an obituary going together. That's different. How would you say your childhood has shaped who you are today and what you've accomplished?
I would say my childhood was my dad, probably for my parents. My dad is the kindest soul. You'd never hear a curse out of his mouth ever in life, and he was the sweetest person you ever walked in. So somehow, you know, you don't notice when you're young and you're growing up, but then you realize later in life, why is this, my kindness come shine so much? Why don't I don't have to say ever, you know, a bad word or a curse ever? And I don't like people doing it. And I got that from my father, the respect, the kindness, the warmth, you know, the humor from them. So,
yeah.
And the work ethic too, it was always just pounded work into the brain. So just, there isn't like, oh, let's just relax today. There's never a moment of thoughts of relaxing. It's just work.
Wait, so did this, does this show you to relax or this show you to continue working hard?
Continue working hard.
Okay. You gotta make some time to relax.
My work kind of is relaxing at the same time.
Okay, because you love it.
But isn't that a gift when you find something to find both? Right. You love your work and it's relaxing. Before COVID, we had so many clients booming. And I was in Shanghai every other year, Shanghai, Germany, Jamaica, you name it. I was traveling, different client here, different client, this country, that country. So when you're popping in different countries and you're having a dinner with the clients and food, you know, it's work, but it's still, you know, engaging, learning at the same time.
So has the business slowed down since COVID?
It boomed at the beginning of COVID. The markets are tanking. Markets aren't doing well. And the markets aren't doing well. Well, the markets aren't doing well. You know, we had a lot of public companies, right? Even this small public company, but they're not spending because the markets aren't doing well. When a market doesn't do well,
there's a lot of fear right now.
And a company was just worth, their market cap was worth 500. Next thing you know, they're worth 200 million. They're nervous as hell. They're all losing money because the market tanked. They don't want to spend on PR, right? People think PR, you know, is a luxury we need next. Same, you know, other people too.
I'd say PR is an investment in yourself.
And an investment in the future.
Yeah.
So we're always pretty busy, but last few months it's been a little slow because I think the economy's tanking in all sorts of different sectors.
I'm deleting it. There's just so much fear. So my belief is there's so much fear and it's pushing more fear, and that's going to just push the markets down or push whatever down, the housing, everything, because people are being consumed by that in the media, you know, and what we focus on and expands. So if we're focusing on the fear, then that's what's going to expand. And I'd say that it also comes from the top down, just as like a business owner, if you're in fear, then it probably like pushes out to the employees and they're feeling it. It's all energy.
It's like, you ever walk into a room? Well, I don't do it anymore because I don't allow myself to be surrounded by that kind of energy. But you ever have the friend in life that you pick up the phone, you call them up, and they're always venting. And it's like, oh my God, this is just draining. And like,
hold the phone over here, just get it out.
And you get your business going and you're busy. You're like, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, I can't do it. You feel it.
You feel it. So you're like, you just can't surround yourself with that negativity. Or the other person that's just negative, negative, negative. It's like, I can't listen to this.
So some people, like I have a couple that are like close friends. And they know what I'm all about. So I'll literally say, okay, like you have 2 minutes. If you want to vent, you have 2 minutes, just do it. Because obviously I'm used to taking people's stuff when I'm working with them as clients and funneling it through. But like, some friends, like a couple of weeks ago, it was just coming at me like a machine gun almost. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even focus or think straight right now. It's coming so hard. So do you just shut them aside? What do you do about that?
I try to listen a little bit and then, but I got to go. I'm really busy. I had another call coming up.
Got it. So I don't cut them off.
You know, yeah. I don't want to find myself going into the weeds of that. You know, sometimes you do by accident because someone's a close friend of yours or someone you know for a long time or someone you feel bad and you start doing it. And you're like, why am I doing this? Stop. You know,
I learned there's a fine line between like being there for them versus,
And then you get off and you're like, this didn't accomplish anything. Did it help the world? Did it do anything better? Did you put any positive energy? I did nothing. Just venting about something, right? You know, just so many times that, and this business, I had to go through a lot of trial and tribulations. It's up and down. It's a very difficult business. But you learn, you know, you can't really, venting and crying over it and walking around and pouting, it's not going to do
anything. What do you do? What do you do in the down times or when it feels like super stressful, scary?
You just keep going and, you know, breathe, relax, calm down, and, you know,
look it over. Do you have any like mental practice that you?
You know, sometimes if it's such a, either A, I sometimes ignore it or think it through. I never really, the best, don't ever just react to somebody's quick email, whether it's a client canning you or saying something, because you're always, your natural reading of it right back at you is worse than it's going to be if you wait a little while. Wait a little while, take your time, whether it's not my time, it's whoever's, who was ever reading it, but don't react right away. And that 30 minutes later, hour later, that email is going to be a lot better than the what you just looked at the moment. You say, wait,
you didn't really mean, energy settle.
Right. He or she didn't mean that. Oh, I see. Now I see what you really meant. Okay. Let me answer it this way. Mm-hmm. I did it yesterday. Somebody was, the first email was, we can't afford this budget right now. You know, it's a bad time. We need investors. Blah, blah, blah. And I was about to shoot back at him. No, you can't ever get rid of PR. It doesn't work that way. And I just waited a little bit, calmed down. I said, you know what? Why don't we listen? In life, you cannot cut off PR. One good hit, a few hits, you know, we're going to book you in this and I got already booked in this. You can turn it over overnight. Let's reduce the fee. Let's make it in the middle. And we ended up making a deal in the middle somewhere. And I didn't lose a client, but we made a deal. I didn't lose the client. We made it somewhere in the middle. So
that's
all because I answered it the right way. If I didn't answer it correctly, he would just all right, we're done. They'll come talk to me in 4 months. And they usually, when they say, I'll get back to you in 3 months, and they won't get back to you usually. So try to always keep a client, whatever you have to do.
But you also know that you're serving them in their best interest. That's behind it. And love.
Don't take anybody's money, fees, if we're not winning. Just doesn't.
Yeah, if you don't make feel
good, it doesn't. It's not successful, but. I won't do that unless we're winning. And in my field, winning is getting placements, getting hits, getting interviews.
Making it happen. I'm curious, I was saying earlier about a success fee. Do you do success fees?
I mean, one of our clients we do because he's an older gentleman. He's been in PR a long, long time. He didn't have good success with his other ones. So we do a small fee, and then if we get him, you know, TV hits, TV interviews, then he gives us different success on those fees.
Bonus out.
Yeah. And that's how we came to an agreement with him. So it worked out with him.
I mean, I would think that'd be extra profitable that way.
Communications, PR, what we're doing. You know, I do a lot of other things. We own a magazine, which is Impact Wealth. We specialize in family offices, investment, financing. So we ended up being a publishing arm. You see, here's a copy of one of our magazines. It's one of our issues. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Quarterly issue. So one of the things about communications and PR, we live in the news business. We live in the news cycle. So we're getting Bethany on to talk about, you know, political campaigns, performance, and how did they do in the last debate? Because you could be a coach, something, a performance coach, and you'll get to study what's happening right now in the news cycle is campaigns, right? Everybody's running for office, big Senate races, and they need someone to look at their, the way they're moving, the way their body language is, the way they came across. Mm. And we book somebody, you on a segment to go on TV the next day, but something big breaks out, something, a bombing happens somewhere, shooting, you're going to get bumped, you're going to get canceled, because the precedent, right, news is more important than bringing you on to talk about the body language, all that. So kind of like, we did our job, we booked them, but it's not our fault that they canceled you. So it's kind of like, that's,
there's a hurricane, example. There's a hurricane happening, right.
So sorry, we can't push on. And yeah. If it was a performance business, we wouldn't get paid, right? Because you never did the interview, but we did our work.
I got it. Yeah. That makes sense. So where is your magazine?
Our magazine, we send it to family offices, big investment family
offices. Oh, you send it to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's online all the time, impactwealth.org. People can subscribe to get our issues. Or they can just read us online all the time. And then we put them in like private aviation lounges and scurry them around the Hamptons, different areas, some parts of New York City, some parts of...
How did you come up with the idea to do that? I'm curious.
I had a few other partners. We were discussing it for a couple of years. My PR partner, my colleague who was editor-in-chief of another magazine, and then another colleague, female, actually all my partners are females, and another female partner who's in the family office space, in the investment space. She runs a family office, one of the richest guys from Panama. And we all came up with the idea, there's not really a magazine niche in this field of family offices. Family office for your audience is, the Purdue family, the Bitcoin family, the Bush family, the Kennedy family. Usually when somebody's uber wealthy, they set up a family office because there's all sorts of investment strategies they want to do, tax break strategies they want to do, and then there's all sorts of family office conferences where people come and they present the latest, newest technology, the latest, newest.
Oh yeah, investment. That's super niche.
So that's the niche, because we already had a partnering up in the family office space a little bit from work. And it's been, we started it right before COVID, so we didn't really do anything during that period, but it's been a success for 2 years now.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll have to invite you to our Miami event we're going to do during our Basel. If you do, I don't know if you'll come down for that. It's a fabulous week of extravaganza events.
I did talk to one friend about going. Well, that sounds like a blast. So that's another, I guess, opportunity of PR, as you get into all the events, right?
The event thing is something I've cherished for 15 years, not being, being a bachelor in New York, let's say, not having a family. So it's something that, keeps me busy. I'm a very active social person. So I like to, let's say, be in the action. And I always say, the law of attraction won't work by just sitting at a desk and not showing up. So people say, how do you go to 5 events in one night or 4 events? I say, law of attraction is not going to work unless you show up. That's the first thing. So you have to show up. And last night I went to an event at the Explorers Club. It was for the Polish government. Then it was a friend, Madison's book launch. She's a comedian. Then I went to a charity event, Chelsea Piers. Then I went to the NED, which is a private club, private nude. The hip thing now in New York is all these private clubs lately. It's popping up everywhere. People pay a membership, then you get privileges to go in, out, maybe all this extra thing. And that was the last stop. So four stops last night. Tonight's a few more. But you cannot grow your business or manifest new business or manifest new friendships or acquaintances or colleagues.
Look
or
at us. I love
exactly. So that's why I said, that's why I move constantly, going.
So you enjoy that?
When you go to a place, You walk in and you feel the energy's bad. I don't know anybody here. This is not my crop of tea, or this looks bad. Just give it time. Give it 15, 20 minutes. Don't just walk in and leave.
Okay, tell us what you do.
You just relax.
Especially for all the people that are afraid of those situations.
Don't ever be afraid. Walk in. And if you think, oh, this is not my cup of tea, or this is a terrible crowd, but give it time. Relax. You'll never know who you're sitting at meet in one corner by the food or by the bar or just at a moment. So I'm not saying give it time, sit there for 2 hours and it feels terrible, but it feels off bad at the beginning, but give it a little time. The universe will work out, and you'll be like, wait, thank God I waited 15 minutes. One time during the summer, this girl, a friend of mine, she invited me to a fashion event. I said, damn, this is an hour away because the Hamptons is big. You could be from Hampton Bays. You could be to Montauk. This thing's an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes. I says, but you know, I had my day filled. It was about 7 events that one day. This was the first stop. My dad was with me. I said, you better not come. I got too many stops these days. Just stay at the cottage, relax. I went out there. I thought I was going to, she invited me to a fashion event. I thought I was going to a little fashion boutique. I pull up these massive gates. Couldn't get it. I called, and the cell didn't work. So I pulled down and I said, Christine, where am I going? Where is this? Oh, go back to the gate and press 5-2 this and buzz. So I buzz in. It's the magnificent estate. Garages everywhere, 3 houses combined on the water. And it was in Hampton Bays. So and I couldn't believe it. I didn't know houses like this existed. So the guy comes walking out. And I know this guy for like a decade. I said, Ed, what are you doing here? He says, what are you doing here? He says, this is my house. I says, oh, I thought I'm going to a little fashion soiree. He says, no, come on in. It's 10 back here. I come back here and she's there. The girl that invited me, she showed me around. There's a pop-up, little fashion pop-up art happening to the left. So it was nice. The food was nice. Sitting to the food over there. And then I'm going to leave at 50 minutes. Ed says, Adam, come on over. Did you meet the congressman yet? I said, there's a congressman here? He says, yeah, I'm doing a fundraiser. I said, I thought I'm here for a fashion event. And I meet the congressman and we hit it off in 2 seconds, the congressman. And I said, listen, I'm going to this other political event now to meet so-and-so and so-and-so. And he says, really? I said, yeah. I said, why don't you follow me? He said, all right. So the congressman and his wife get in the car back of me and they follow me a half hour east to go to the next event. And this was a storm about happening that night in the Hamptons too. So I had to leave early, but he followed me to the next one. I ended up getting his nod to the congressman and we worked together a little bit. So the point is, if I never went to that event, I had no idea where I was going. So I was going to a little fashion store or something. I went there. I didn't even know my friend Ed owned the house and he introduced me to congressman. That's a little example. If I did what, and when I first walked in, I'm like, this is kind of boring. I don't want, you know, this is not me, but I just came. I didn't hang out a little bit, I wouldn't have met the congressman and worked with him.
Okay. So I want to dissect it for a second because I'm all about doing that. So that we bring the points clear. So to me, what's happening is you know that something magical is going to happen or some, whatever language you use, obviously I use magical. So you trust that and you hang out and you're like, something's going to happen. I know it. And then because of that knowing inside and that trust, it does.
Right. You can't go in there and be pouting and say, oh, I came here. How come it's not working? Right.
I'm not feeling it today.
It's not going to work. If you do that. But right. You don't be a robot. You go in with the understanding that if you don't feel it right away, just pause for a little while. Stay positive. And something magical will happen. Not every time, but something will happen. Now it's saying always you could go to the event and you gave it a half hour, nothing great happened. So you do, but you tried. But usually if something good will happen. And it could be one little story that you met. You say, you know, I only met 3 people. But that third person you met in 1 month, they'll call you up and say, hey, I met you so-and-so. I got somebody I want to introduce you to that could be a good match for you. Wow, I did. Thank God I went to that event. Yeah.
And more often than not, I would say something good happens than like nothing.
If I didn't drive 1 hour just to stop by because my friend, she invited me to this and I didn't know, I didn't think it would be anything great. I wouldn't have came into Ed's house. And if I didn't hang around there longer than I really wanted to or felt that, all of a sudden he called me over and I had no idea. He's like doing a fundraiser at the congressman at the same time, in a little section. And me and the congressman hit it off, drove away, I took him to the next two parties in a row in the Hamptons. And he's like, wow, yeah, you're really so good. How do you know all this?
I know. I knew it. You're super connected. You do have a vibe like I run the show too.
Oh, a little bit of confidence vibe. That's another thing. Vibe. You have to walk.
is that what that means? Okay. Okay. So when you're in the room, like, do you have like a, I don't know if you want to give away any other secrets, but like a thing, like an acknowledgement or an opening, like an intro for connecting with people?
You know, I'm always the wing it kind of person. Mm. There's no, because everybody has their own personality.
Or is it your dog?
Oh, my dog made it easy with 20 women. That was pretty easy.
He just carries his dog around. He's like, I know this dog's a magnet.
So there's one little place that you could take the dog at, because he Sunset Beach is it, because it's got the stairs. He walks around the back. He likes it. There's other dogs there. This is the one place I usually go that I like to bring Sammy.
Okay.
And people say, oh, you do it on purpose just so people could talk to you. Let me talk to you. But
yeah.
I don't have, you know, I'm doing this so long and meet thousands of people. When other people have, you know, an issue or, you know, let's say a little bit nervous of, I don't have any nerves of going up to anybody. But the one thing, if you do go into a room and you see someone that you might make you starstruck, let's say you're in a special environment in LA or New York or Miami or Nashville, and you see a country singer or you see a movie star or you see an athlete, you're like, oh, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Try to knock that down three levels somehow, even if deep down he is.
Yeah.
Think of something, you're gonna have to quickly Google something that's obscure about them. Because everybody's going to go, oh man, I saw you in this, or I saw you in that, or can I get a picture? Do something different. That's not going to automatically get you in the fan mode, right? You don't want to be jump into the fan mode automatically, because that just kills you. You're not going to relationship with that person. So talk to them about something obscure, something that's quirky, something that kind of know who they are. You kind of know who they are. But don't make it that you know who they are. You know. Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, you know, I say when I met Kelsey Grammer, what did I say to Kelsey? That became his friend at a theater production. It was a big after party for one of his shows. And I just came up to him and just started chatting with him about, you know, something in the streets of New York or the muggings or something bad that was happening, you know, something different about, not specifically about him. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It was obscurity of issues that were happening. So just get his vibe back and you just chat that way, you know,
right.
Something that's not like, oh, why is this person asking about me again or want a photo, you know,
right. Not another one.
Yeah, I don't know, because then they'll be like, you're not going to, you know, and as more examples, but that's kind of like, you have to do it your own style, but don't get into fan mode. Don't get into the mode where you want to, like, can I take a photo mode?
Right. Yeah. Well, like Cuba was there when we were at the Sunset Beach.
Yeah, I'm tight with Cuba too. Very tight with him.
Well, I used to see him all the time at the bar across the street from my home. Like all the time. And so I was going to be like, doesn't it suck that closed down? And then I'm like, I don't really need to talk to him. But he was like right there. So it like felt like he felt like a friend, because like I've seen him so many times in my neighborhood. The Brentwood Lounge.
Brentwood?
Yeah. Brentwood Lounge. It like shut down, I don't know, like 2 years ago. Used to go like every Wednesday or Thursday with a friend.
He lived there for a bit?
Well, I'm assuming he was there. Like, every time I was there, he was there.
Oh, wow.
And it's really tiny. Like, I swear it doesn't hold more than like 20, 30 people.
Wow. And I, like you said, I carry a certain way about my confidence or my chatting with someone or the way I talk to someone, I don't really ever give the aura of star or starstruck or googly eyed. I don't ever give that appearance. So I have no problem.
Yeah.
And whether it's an A-lister, a US senator, celebrity asking for their contact number for some reason to get together or contact for business, I don't really have, there's never a wall of uncertainty that will stop
me.
Just
do it like they're a regular person.
I do it like everybody's the same. Everybody's a regular person. I do it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So what would you say, this is how I like to close it out, what would you say your three keys are, or the tools in your tool belt for quantum leaping?
Just, you know, always, you know, try to stay above the fray, be positive, you know, take a leap, you know, when you think things are down, you know, don't stay there down, get up, whatever you're going to do, get up and hit down. You feel negative, just rise up, you know, and just keep battling.
Yeah.
Thing is, you know, work hard, right? Just keep focused, you know, your best every day, you know. Give another thing is I like to do is you give back. You know, why give back? You say you give back and it'll come back to you, but it makes you feel good that you gave somebody that's, you know, two things. You're giving back somebody that needs it. You don't, you know, and there's always somebody else that's in a worse spot than you when you feel down. So give back constantly. And
one more.
Work out constantly, you know, is that one?
Workout?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for your, what is it? Your hormone.
Good for my hormones, your dolphins. What is it?
The endorphin.
Endorphins makes you feel good. It makes you in shape. Mm-hmm. You know, if blood's flowing, puts a smile on your face. So constantly exercise, because exercise is very important for your body and your mind. You know, you think, oh, it's just my body. What's it going to do? No, it really helps your mind. It's endorphins. Somehow you're in a little pouty way in the morning and it's cold. Get in there and work out. Somehow that'll quickly turn you.
Well, and it also movement, like movement can be meditation. I tell people that. I'm like, movement's meditation. You can get the similar benefit.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And looking forward to getting all these beautiful messages, especially about showing up when you don't really want to, or when you're, you know, uncomfortable. I think that's some powerful messages for everyone. So yeah, thank you for blessing us with your time.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to subscribe and let me know by leaving a review on iTunes. It fuels me to keep bringing you more guests. And if you aren't already following me on social media, check out @BethanyLondon and visit BethanyLondon.com for online programs and free healing opportunities, or our corporate healing platform, LondonHeights.co. Don't hesitate to tag me and our guests with your favorite quotes for a reshare. I can't wait to connect with you in the next episode. And in the meantime, wishing you that quantum leap.
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Baklaan.
And I'm Eden Alpert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electric Cast production.
See you there.
Electric Cast.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.